He asked me if I had a prop.
I'm not cool like the other preacher, so no prop for me. Sorry.
I was telling the guys earlier, I feel very uncomfortable because we have two distinguished teachers who mold the young minds of children in the halls of learning, and then you got a plumber up here. Can any of you tell me what the color of money is for a plumber? Green, wrong. Who said brown? You know what I mean? Hey, I'll tell you a story about that. So there was this family, they used to go to the church on Staten Island. We're from the church on Staten Island. And they used to go there, and I used to live a couple minutes from them, good friend of mine. And he calls me up one day and says, hey, brother, could you come on over and help me out? And when you're a plumber, nobody calls you to help with their math homework. You know what they call you for, right? So I come down to the basement, and they had a backup. And there's two rules with plumbing. The poop flows downhill, and payday's on Thursday. Those are the two rules of plumbing. So he violated one of the rules of plumbing. It's not going downhill. We got a clog. So we go out to the Home Depot. We get the snake. And there's this thing called a trap, right? It's the last thing right before all the bad stuff goes out of the house. And it has these clean-out plugs where you could take out the plug and you could send your send the snake down the drain and you could clean it out, right? And it's a big backup. So all the stuff is all the way to the second floor at this friend of mine's house. Real good friend of mine. Doesn't go to the church anymore, thank God. But real good friend of mine. And so I'm the professional, right? So this is why I get paid the brown bucks. So I go to take off the plug very slowly, right? And it's not coming off, right? So, all right, well, what do? When something's not moving? You just pull it harder. So pull it harder, pull it harder, boom! The cap comes off, and all the brown comes up like a geyser. And to borrow from The Office, poop was raining from the ceiling. Poop. And I won't say who he is, but he's a teacher. I won't say who he is, but he plays the piano. And I won't say who he is, but Chris Spinelli, man, I mean, they had some bad stuff that day. So that's who you got preaching here. And I love young people. I work with the college and career group on Staten Island, and all of my games are lame, all of my events are lame, all my jokes are lame. And Amanda Rosenmiel, she goes, you know, you got to preach loud so that you guys stay awake tonight. And then she recanted because she knew that she released the beast. So I said, you know what, both my kids are sleeping now, so I'll tone it back, okay? So, but anyway, I love young people. It's good to be here tonight. Nice to see your smiling faces. Everybody just relax, because now I'm going to hit you in the gut, all right? Matthew chapter 19 and Mark chapter 10. Two places in your Bible tonight, Matthew chapter 19 and Mark chapter 10. One more great plumber quote. And, it was at I went to plumbing school, and only in plumbing school do you go to school once every 2 weeks. That's all you have to do to be a plumber. Go to school once every 2 weeks. And we had a graduation, and some 50-year-old plumber could barely walk anymore, gets up on the stage, and he's kind of all rally voice and says, "All right, listen up, boys. I only got one thing to tell you. Not all knowledge comes from college." And all the boys were like, "Oh, bars drop, yo." Well, not all knowledge comes from college. He said the truth. So I hope to learn you something tonight. I hope to give you some knowledge and instruction from God's word. This book is amazing. I don't know this book like I should know it, but I love this book. I wish I had two of me or three of me and hours of energy and strength to just study this book. This book has changed my life. Amen. It's changed my life. And I grew up in church too. I got saved at 6 years old too. But there's something about when you dive into this book that, man, it'll change you. It'll do something to you. So let's open up the book. So Matthew chapter 19, and let's read down here in verse number 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. And one more thing I'm starting the watch because this is not First Bible Staten Island. This is First Bible New Jersey. We start and end on time. Yeah. All right. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. The Bible says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" See, I'm already screaming. Verse 17, "And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." You know what Jesus just said? You know, if you're calling me good, and there's nobody good from God, you know who you're calling me, boy? You're calling me God. Amen. Jesus Christ is God. Amen. And don't let anybody tell you any different. Amen. So, but if thou wilt enter into life, verse 17, keep the commandments. Verse 18, he saith unto him, which? Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Notice a few things about this character here. First of all, he's not a child. He's a young man. Amen. And I'm looking at some young men and women here tonight. So this is for you. Back up in verse 14, we have that classic verse about the attitude of Jesus towards children. "Suffer little children and forbid them not." But this isn't a child. This is a young man. So we're talking to young people tonight. Look also at his integrity of character. This is a good kid. He says that he's kept the commandments in verse 20. "All these things have I kept from my youth up." This is a good kid. Jesus didn't rebuke him for what he said. "You've kept the commandments. You haven't been killing. You haven't been shacking around, sleeping around. You've been honoring your father and mother." That's a good kid. He's probably a Sunday school kid. Probably memorizing the verses. Probably singing "Captain, Can It Be." He was probably in master's club. He was probably doing all the things up until that point as a young man or a young person that he should have been doing. This is a good kid. But look at the commandments that Jesus quotes to him in verse 18. He says, "Do these commandments: don't murder, don't commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, love thy neighbor as thyself." Now remember, Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5, there were how many commandments, class? Thank you, Josh. 10, right, thank you. So, 10 commandments. Some of them were going this way towards man. Don't hurt anybody else. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't steal from people. Don't lie to people. Those are all the commandments that affected the fellow man. Right. You know which commandments Jesus left out? The commandments towards God. Right. He didn't say anything about that. Interesting. Like, don't have any gods before me. Don't take my name in vain. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now go over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. So we know that this is a young man and he's a good kid. And now verse 21. Verse 20, it's the same story in a different gospel. Verse 20, he says, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth up." Then Jesus, beholding him, Jesus took a good look at this kid, eyeball to eyeball, face to face. If looks could kill, if looks could break a heart, a look of Jesus Christ, eyeball to eyeball, would break your heart. Right. Remember when Peter denied the Lord 3 times? And Jesus Christ is up in that fake trial, sham trial, and Jesus is out denying him 3 times. And Jesus, after the 3rd time, just looked over at Peter. Right. And the Bible says that he went out and wept bitterly. Right. If a look of Jesus Christ could kill. You know, you're going to be standing eyeball to eyeball one day. Don't let me trip on these things. With Jesus Christ, and those eyes are going to be looking at you as a flame of fire. Oh, if a look could kill, if a look could break a heart. Jesus, beholding him, should say right next, down in verse 21, loved him. Jesus Christ took one look at that kid, and he knew everything about him. He had made him after all. He had named him after all. Book of Isaiah says that God names us and gives us our surnames. Amen. He named him. He knew him. Psalm 139 talks about how God knows our ups. God knows our downs. There's not a word in our tongue that he doesn't know. He understands our thoughts afar off. God takes one look at you and he knows all about you. He knows what's going on. And loved him. He knows your ups and he knows your downs and he loves you tonight. Faults and all. Ups and downs and all. He loves you tonight. So down in verse 21, Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Well, Lord Jesus, wait a second, hold up. I know you're God and all, but this is a good kid. This is a Sunday school kid. I'm a Sunday school kid. This is a kid that went to church. This is a kid that honored his father and mother. This is a kid that he's rich. You're rich tonight, by the way, folks. You got the right book. You got a good pastor. You got good camps and things to do. You got each other. You guys are rich, young rulers, every last one of you. And yet, one thing maybe, and that's the message tonight, one thing thou lackest. Maybe you're missing one thing tonight, and we'll talk about that one thing. One thing thou lackest. Go thy way. So whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. What a tragedy. What a mistake. What a bad deal. That a good kid who is obeying the law and doing the right things, and went to the right man, the God man, the man Christ Jesus, and yet he wouldn't follow him. You know, today, as Josh talked about how, you know, this is a special generation. I think this is the generation that's going to see Jesus Christ come. Amen. And, when you think about the days to come and the tribulation and the Antichrist, what three numbers come to nine, and it's not 911? What are those three numbers? 666. Bro, let me get a bacon, egg, and cheese at the deli. How much is that going to be? $6.66. All right, can I get some ketchup on that? All right, that's going to be $9.66. All right, I'm just going to pay the 666, no problem. 666. We're all worried about 666. You know what John chapter 6, verse 66 says? If I can find it. John 6, verse 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him, just like this young man. He's missing something. He's missing something. Maybe you're missing something tonight, and you're all good kids and in the right place and doing the right thing, but maybe you're missing one thing. And if you don't have that one thing, John 6, 66 for you. And I love you all tonight. And I want to see the best for you. Many of you know I'm getting ready by the grace of God and according to the will of God and Lord willing to go off to Sicily to partner up with a brother who grew up there and to be missionaries there and take what we know here and try to take it somewhere else where there is no church. So I don't have many times to tell you these things. I don't have much time left with you guys. So I'm serious. I love you tonight. And I don't want to see you turn into a John 666 and walk away from Jesus Christ and make a mistake like that. But having said that, let's pray. And we'll see what we're missing tonight, okay? Father, we come before you now. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for that love, Lord. I think of John 13, Lord, with the traitor at the table and Jesus getting ready to say goodbye. He loved his own. He loved his own even unto the end. And I know, Lord, your love for these young people, Lord. You want to see them grow. You want to see them strong in Christ, Lord. You want to see them aflame with righteousness, Lord. With joy in their hearts, Lord. You've come to give them life, and that more abundantly. We thank you so much. And I pray, Lord, as the word of God is preached, that your word would touch a heart as only it can do. And Lord, maybe we're on the edge, Lord, of really starting to do some real business with you. Whenever the word of God is open and God's people are present, we know that you want to speak. And as we draw nigh to God, we trust you'll draw nigh to us. Draw nigh tonight, Lord. Put me on the cross and let Jesus stand in my place tonight, that his word might be preached. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What was he missing? What might we be missing? Good kids in church, memorized verses in Sunday school. Look down at verse 21 again. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross. Take up the cross and follow me. There are four times in the Lord's ministry when Jesus would say either to take up your cross or bear the cross and follow him. Four times he said something like that. How many of you are saved? Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Raise your hand. Amen and amen. That was through the power of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. Amen. Thank God for the cross. Amen. The cross is the most amazing thing that's ever happened on planet Earth. Amen. Is when God became a man. Yeah. Bore your sins, bore your lies, bore your disobedience in his own body on the tree, took those sins to hell, amen, and rose again the third day according to his own power. Amen. That's the power of the cross. Amen. I love that old cross. Amen. The cross saved my life. Amen. We all like to have crosses maybe here, crosses on our cars, crosses on our shirts. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, have you taken up the cross yourself and followed him? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So number one, what might we be lacking? We might be lacking an understanding of the cross and the power of the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Yeah, I know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins 2,000 years ago. I know that when I was 6 years old, in a Sunday school classroom in a warehouse, I called on the name of Jesus Christ. But what does the cross mean for us today? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 says this, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words. That's why you have plumbers and preachers. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. The cross of Christ is supposed to have an effect, amen, in your life today. It's supposed to have an impact upon you. Look down at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Right. Jesus was a man, but he didn't die on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. Jesus didn't exist. It's foolishness to those that are dying and going to hell. But to us which are saved, amen, it's the power of God. Amen. It's the power of God. Something happens when you take up the cross for yourself and realize the power of that Savior on the cross and what he did for you. When you remember that there was nails pierced in his hands for the things that you touched, maybe on your phone, Jesus' hands were nailed for those things. When his feet were pierced and you realize that and take that for yourself, wow, his feet were pierced for the places maybe mom and dad said I shouldn't have gone. When you remember that there was the spear in his side for the things that you loved, like we talked about, from your heart that you shouldn't have loved. A crown of thorns in his brow for the things that you thought that you shouldn't have thought. When you remember that, that'll give you some power to say, wait a minute, I shouldn't be. Lord, if you died for me, I know that I know the songs. I know that I know what it is to be in church, but I shouldn't be thinking that. I shouldn't be doing that. Look down at verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks, that's the Gentiles, that's us, seek after wisdom. when someone drops bars and puts the words together. It's like, whoa, bro. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, those that are saved, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. That crucified Christ is the power of God, and it's the wisdom of God. That's the most amazing, incredible, unbelievable transaction that's ever transpired. It took the wisdom of God to save your soul, the wisdom of God to save my soul. How is it that a man 2,000 years ago, who was all God and all man, go figure that, when you as a little boy, you as a little girl, bowed your heart, bowed your knees and said, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Please save me from my sins. And I don't know about you, when you got saved, when I got saved at 6, I knew that I was saved. I knew that the burden of sin had rolled off of my shoulders, off of my back. I knew that I was saved. I knew that I was forgiven. And how is justification and sanctification and redemption, how does all that? That's the wisdom of God, folks. That's the wisdom of God, boys and girls. The cross is a powerful thing, not just to save your soul, but to save your life. Amen. Take up the cross tonight. Maybe it's something that you're missing. Amen. Romans chapter 6. Go on over to Romans chapter 6. The power of the cross. Maybe that's what we're missing tonight. The power of the cross. Romans chapter 6, the power of the cross to free you from sin.
Amen.
The power of cross to free you from sin. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not? Don't you know? First Bible, New Jersey, First Bible, Staten Island. Don't you know? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Let me give you a little something from the scripture here. When you call on the name of Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God at the cross took you, Keith Miguel, a sinner, disobedient, lying, breaking vases that mommy said not to break, taking pieces of pie that daddy told him not to take, all kinds of stuff like that. I know what it's all about. I grew up in church too. Took that sinner and put him into Christ so that when Christ died for sins, Keith died for sins. But since I'm in Christ, when Christ died for sins and was buried, that old sinner was buried too, that old liar, that old disobedient child. And when Christ rose from the dead, I rose from the dead with him.
Amen.
What a plan. What a thing.
Wow.
Risen with Christ. And now, if Christ died for sins, how many times, class?
One.
Oh, I heard Josh, so let's look over here. How many times did Christ die for sins?
One
time. Ladies, how many times did Christ die for sins?
One
time. He's not going to be touching sin anymore.
Amen.
And you don't have to either.
Amen.
You don't have to either. You can be free from sin. You know, I'm so sick and tired of my Christianity. I don't know about yours sometimes. I'm tired of it. How just, I don't know. I want to do right. I know what's right. I know what's good. And I know the joy, the pleasure, just the deep satisfaction there is in being where God wants me to be.
Amen.
And doing what God wants me to do, and yet I still do wrong. You know what that is? Sin.
Amen.
S-I-N. Sin. If I could be free from sin and just get that sin off me and get that stuff out of my life, I'd be a happier, better, more joyful Christian.
Right.
I'd actually live the Christian life that God meant me to live.
Right.
He didn't make the Christian life so that we could fail all the time. Stumble down to an old altar, even though we don't really do that, to stumble down to the old altar and, Lord, I'm sorry again. That happens, but it doesn't have to. That's not how the Lord set it up. You are dead to sin. Look down at verse number 6. That's the power of the cross. Look down at verse 6. Knowing this, you got to know some things. You got to crack open your Bible a little bit. You got to pay attention to discipleship. You got to pay attention to your Bible study classes that Pastor Pat puts on. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that's the cross, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
That's good. Amen.
If you know that to be true, I know that, okay, I learned this in discipleship. I learned that when Keith was preaching. I learned that from a message from Pastor Pat, Pastor Mike, that, okay, so if I'm in Christ, and Christ died for sins and was buried and rose again, and Christ isn't dying for sin, and he's not touching sin anymore, and he's free from sin, if I know that, then, okay, I don't have to lie.
Amen.
Right. I don't have to look at that thing on the phone.
Amen.
I don't have to have that bad attitude that gets me in trouble. I don't have to have that. Okay, then, I know I should love the book more and love the things of God more than anything else. I don't have to be stuck that way anymore. If you know that.
That's good.
If you know that. Amen. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall
make you free.
That's the power of the cross. To set you free from sin. Every bad thing that's ever happened to you is either your sin or somebody else's sin. And I know the gamut. I've been in church a long time. I know that my sin has gotten me into trouble, and I was just walking along the road one day, and I was doing fine, and I was trying to do my best, and then something came into the threshold of my life, and it was somebody else's sin. Oh, yeah, I know how it goes. Sin is the problem. If I could just take care of my sin and take up the cross and put myself on the cross, that the life of Jesus Christ might come through me, I'd be a happier, better Christian.
Amen.
Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, sometimes my wife and I will be talking, and you know, it's about something that, you know, like mundane, like, you know, what do you want for dinner? What? Speak up. Speak up. Chinese. Yeah. You know, not everything excites me like this. When I talk about the book,
amen.
Something just, I don't know, I come alive. You guys go to sleep. I'll just preach to me and my wife and Pat and Chris and you guys. You know, I'll just keep going. It just makes me come alive. I don't know.
Amen.
It's exciting stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Why would God let his best, the best of the best? You know, some of you, who has your first job or second job, like an early job? Only a few of you. So the rest of you, enjoy. Because when that first job comes, you know what you're going to find? That the slacker and the clown on the job, the boss just, okay. But the guy that's doing a good job, you know, Johnny, Paulie, what are you guys doing? Come on, man, you got blah, 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 blah. The boss always gets on the one. You know why? Because they're the best. I know, you guys are the best. You know, you guys are my boys. Because they're the best. It's always God's best that sometimes has the most trouble. Like Paul. Why would he do that? Verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us, watch this now, delivered us from so great a death,
amen.
And doth deliver, in whom we trust he will yet deliver us.
Amen.
Jesus Christ on the cross in the past delivered me from so great a death by so great a salvation.
Amen.
He delivered me from the penalty of sin. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
In the future, one day, he's going to deliver us and set us free from the presence of sin altogether.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. What a place that'll be. But right now, from the power of sin in your lives, Jesus Christ has the power to deliver you right now. from the power of sin.
That's right.
You just got to take up the cross.
That's right.
Guys, girls, you just got to take up the cross. Until that day, when the Bible says we'll be delivered from the bondage of corruption, Romans chapter 8. Oh, man, I just wish that this old body, Josh, he's complaining he's old. You're not old. You're 27. Stop it. You know, it's okay. I'm 31, so I'm old too. To be delivered from the bondage of this corruption into, the Bible says, the glorious liberty of the children of God. One day, you'll just think straight and not sin.
Amen.
That'll be pretty cool. One day, I'll just be able to talk to people. I got to watch my words in leadership and talking to people. I got to watch. Sometimes people say, hey, brother, can I talk to you? And I think, oh, God, what did I say? What do I do now? What did I say? One day, I'll just be able to speak, and it'll just be good, and it'll just be kind, and it'll just be friendly and fun and holy and right. Oh, what liberty. But until then, he has the power to deliver you from sin even now. So take up the cross and follow him. Another mention about the cross. Go to Matthew chapter 10. So Jesus talks about taking up the cross, bearing the cross, four times in his ministry. Maybe you're missing the power of the cross in your life. Maybe you're just a good boy. Maybe you're just a good girl. You generally kind of obey mommy and daddy when they're not, when they're looking. You know, you try to look good in front of the pastor. And that's all good stuff. That's good. But baby, you've got it going this way, but you're missing the power of the cross this way in your life. Take up the cross and follow him. Matthew chapter 10. Look down at verse 34. It's amazing what people think of Jesus. Jesus, he was just a nice boy. Oh, they say nice guys finish last. Jesus was just a nice teacher. Oh, you know. Jesus wasn't God, and Jesus was this, and Jesus was that, and Jesus should do this, and Jesus should do this. Well, let's see what Jesus thinks about what he's doing. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. There is no peace, save my God, to the wicked. Don't think that Jesus has come to send peace on this wicked earth. God bless America. I don't think God should bless America, not this country. God could bless you.
Amen.
And bring peace in your life. So he's not sent for peace. I come not to send peace, but a sword.
Right.
A sword. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and joints and marrows, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That sword.
Amen.
You know, the lightsaber battles used to be good, and now they're, you know. With that sword, we'll divide. Those are my true Star Wars fans. We'll divide the light from the darkness in your life. That's what Jesus came. He came to separate the darkness from the light in your life. What's right and wrong? Take out the sword. Take out the light sword, as our kid stuff is going to be. Take out the light sword. Take out the saber. And zoom. And all right, Lord, this is your sword. Show me, divide for me, the light from the darkness, the right from the wrong. That's not even my point, so let me get back to my point. So he's come to send the sword. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, verse 35, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and honor your father and mother. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And love your children and love your wife. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I think that was T.I. back when I was in high school. Just living your life. I think that was T.I. back in the day. This world tells you, if you want to find life, if you want to find joy, if you want to find peace, if you want to find a reason for living, just look within yourself. Just go after your life. It's your life. No one can tell you what to do. Mom or dad can't tell you what to do. Pastor can't tell you what to do. Youth leader can't tell you what to do. God can't tell you what to do. It's your life. That's what the world says. But Jesus said that if you want to find life, you got to let go of yours.
Amen.
But the thing is, when you let go of yours, you get a brand new life.
Amen.
Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. The power of the cross to give you a new life. Maybe that's what you're missing tonight. 2 Corinthians 5:17. They're just getting warmed up.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:17. You should know this from Master's Club. You should know this from Kid Stuff. You should know this from Sunday School. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Praise God. You know, you have two sets of things in that verse that are old and two sets of things that are new. Behold, old things. Old things. Even good things. I mean, I'm not talking to drug dealers here. I'm talking to good kids. You know, my favorite thing, I mean, I knew deep down that the Lord is first, and I know that, and honor your father and mother and stuff like that. But in reality, in actuality, when I was a teenager, the first thing for me was ball. Ball was life. I mean, like, I play around now and just kind of hang out now, but back in the day, I was going to be in college. I was going to make at least D2. I was going to get some scholarship money, and ball was life. 2 hours a day, 500 shots a day. Christmas, New Year's, Sunday, every day. Ball is life back then. That's not a horrible thing. That's not killing anybody. But in Christ, that's an old thing.
Amen.
Video games, that's an old thing.
Amen.
Behold, all things are become new. You know what the new things for me in life? Plugging into church,
amen,
being around the brethren, passing out a tract, trying to be a blessing, trying to hang around good men of God that they've just got something about them. They've just got something special. I just feel God all over them when I get in their presence, trying to get around good men of God like that. Those are the new things. You have old things and new things, and you have the old man. If any man, anybody, maybe you missed the boat and maybe you're not saved.
Right.
Maybe you missed the invitation and you blew off the Sunday school teacher's invitation. You can get saved tonight.
Right.
You can get saved tonight. The door's still open.
Right.
Any man, any old man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If you're in Jesus Christ tonight, you're a new person.
Right.
You're totally different.
Amen.
You're totally different from the rest of the world. Who else in the world but a Christian has the Spirit of God living inside of them?
Amen.
Has the home of heaven? Has the power to overcome sin? Your lost friends don't have the power to overcome sin.
Amen.
You're a new creature. You're something totally different. Who is this new life? Who is this new creature? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Right across the page. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. There's a power inside you. There's a power inside you. Maybe you've not ever tapped into it that can make you different. We are troubled on every side. There's that trouble again. Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Wait, Paul, bro, you're troubled, you're perplexed, you're persecuted and cast down, and you're still going?
Amen.
Losing limbs, and you're still smiling?
Amen.
Quoting scripture?
Amen.
That's not the old man. That's not the old man. That's something totally different.
That's
this life, verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Take up the cross and follow him. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live, we're alive in Christ, are always in every way delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh? Wait a minute. I thought that I was just supposed to be doing things for Jesus. Jesus, I memorized a verse for you. Jesus, I passed out a tract for you. Jesus, I signed up for youth camp for you. No. When you die to yourself and you say, it's not me anymore. Amen. It's not me. You can't do it and neither can I. Jesus, would you just do this through me? Jesus, would you just do this in me? Jesus's life can be made manifest, can be shown in this old body.
Amen.
John chapter 3, John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. It's either you're doing it or Jesus is doing it or some degree of those things. He's either increasing, he's either having more of an influence in your life, or it's just you doing things for Jesus. The power of the cross is that when you realize that even in service, even in keeping the commandments, even in doing those good things, it's not I'm doing it for Jesus, it's me. I must decrease. Amen. It's not even me. And it's Jesus in me. Jesus has the power to do it. Jesus has the power to reach out to that lost friend. Jesus has the power to get over that sin.
Amen.
Jesus has the power to change your attitude towards the things of God. You just got to get on the cross and let him get on the throne in your life and in your heart, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in your mortal body. Now go on to, where am I? Somebody help me out. Where am I? Yeah, I know that. go to the Gospels. Go to, Matthew 16. Okay, point number three, Matthew 16. Matthew 16. One thing thou lackest, one thing Christianity lacks. They love to rejoice in the cross. They want to hang it on their neck, but it has no meaning for their day-to-day life. So the power of the cross over sin, maybe that's lacking in your life tonight. The power of the cross to give you a brand new life, maybe that's lacking in your life. The power of the cross to defeat the devil in your life. Matthew 16. Look down at verse number 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Jesus starts telling his disciples about the cross he would have to bear. You'll never have to bear that cross.
Amen.
Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, started to press up on Jesus, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The devil seemed to sniff around. You know, God always tries the best, tests the best, grows the best. And the devil always wants the best too.
Right.
You know, he had Judas, I think. John chapter 6 says Judas was a devil. He was the son of perdition, so go figure that out. He had Judas in the bag. Maybe he sniffed around some of the others. Maybe he sniffed around Christian and Johnny and Isaac and Adriana and Amanda. Maybe he sniffed around Isabella and David and the others. Maybe he said, you know what? The druggie, I got in the bag already. You know what? The kid that's out of church, I already won that battle. Maybe I could sniff around as a... Who said that about that? The devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Who said that? Peter said that.
Amen.
And somehow the devil got into Peter there. Always looking for the best, that old devil, that old split foot, always looking for the best. And Jesus Christ, in that instance, rebukes the devil and points to the cross and says, if you're going to come after me, boys, girls, you got to deny yourself and take up the cross. What a dirty trick the devil does. You know what he does? He plays on what you want. I don't struggle with drugs. I don't want drugs. I don't struggle with alcohol. I don't want alcohol. You know what I struggle with? The things that I want. The things that I like. The sins that taste good. Those are the things that I struggle with. Those are the things that the devil can get a foothold on. Not me, brother. I'll never. Okay, maybe you'll never do this, but what about that? That's what the devil always. So you know what you got to do? You got to deny yourself.
Amen.
You got to deny yourself. Just like Jesus. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. It's all there in the cross, boys and girls. This the power of the cross. There's power in the cross, boys and girls. That's where the power is. It's all there. Luke chapter 22. Maybe that's what's missing in your life. Luke chapter 22. Down at verse number, starting verse number 28. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. We're going to talk a little bit about some temptations. So here's some temptations. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. He liked Peter. There was something about Peter. There was something about the ones who are going to be the leaders. There's something about the ones that are going to be the best and do something for God that Satan just likes to hang around and bother them. Satan hath, can I just say it? You're the best of the best.
Amen.
King James Bible in your arm, good teaching. How about a good spirit? Good people, just kind, just humble, just the best of the best. Satan doesn't want the Catholic. He's got him already. Satan wants you guys, the ones in here. So continuing those temptations. And verse 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, Peter, I, there it is. Not by the grace of God, Jesus, by your help, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Look at how Jesus handles temptation, and look at Peter handles temptation. One denied himself. And one denied Jesus. I am ready. Maybe he was ready if he got to go down in a sword fight. Maybe that's what Peter wanted. Back to the lightsaber again. Maybe when he chopped down that guy's ear and Jesus picked it up and said, he that planted the ear, and just put it right back on his ear.
Amen.
Maybe that's how Peter wanted to go. Yeah, Lord, I'll go with you to die, to prison, if I get to go out in battle. Yeah, Lord, I'll serve you if I get to serve you here or there, but the Philippines? No, I can't do that. This shall not be unto me. No. Sicily? No. This shall not be unto thee. Take up the cross. Deny yourself. Look at how they both handled temptation. Verse 34, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt three times, deny that thou even knowest me, that thou knowest me. Jesus handling temptation, down in verse 40. Here it is a second time in this chapter it's mentioned. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. Jesus was praying for Peter. Jesus was praying for himself in the hour of temptation. And prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, denying himself, but thine be done. It says in Matthew that Jesus prayed that thing three times. How many times did Peter deny Jesus, class? Three times. The second Adam conquered the garden of temptation. The first Adam failed in the garden of temptation. Temptation. the power of the cross, when Jesus denied himself and said, Lord, okay, whatever you want, the deal was done. He was going to the cross. He was going to accomplish that redemption. You know why? It was in the garden when he denied himself. Can't get over sin? Can't be doing the right thing? Deny yourself, just like Jesus did. And take up the cross and follow him. And lastly, Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. The power of the cross to finish the job. The power of the cross to finish the job. Luke chapter 14. One thing might be lacking, good boys and girls, Sunday school kids, best of the best, but one thing might be lacking in your life. Maybe it's the power of the cross. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, how about this for your pastor? How about this for a preacher? If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, we know that's not, Jesus, I hate my life. Ah, he broke up with me. I hate my life. That's not. You love anything more than Jesus Christ? You're knocking him down. You're knocking him down. That's hatred. That's hatred for Jesus. So put him in this proper place. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For, and then he goes on to give, expound on that. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goeth to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, here's the likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Brother Chris preached on it. In order to finish the job, you know what God's trying to do? I'm taking it to Sicily too, by God's grace. We're not going to go over there and build churches and take down the Pope and win thousands to Christ. We're going to build Christians one at a time. We're going to build towers one at a time. You know what this is all about? Youth group's all about. College and career is all about. Preaching's all. It's about building towers one at a time. So that you can go make war against the other king. He's the king of all the children of pride. He's a prince. He's got principalities and powers underneath him. He's a king. So if you're going to build that tower and stand for Christ and finish the job, it's going to take all that you've got, Amen. Spirit, soul, and body. Amen. You're going to have to make that trade. We made the trade, me and my wife. We have it all here. I'm just being real with you. We have it all here. I got the best people in the world around me. I've got the hymns. I've got good doctrine. I've got great pastors. I've got a job. I've got wife, children. I've got everything that I need. I've got work to do. I got everything that I need. But the will of God is over there. Amen. I've got what I want, what I like, what I've enjoyed for all these years. I've got the blue chairs that I love. I've got the gravel parking lot that when I come over that driveway, I just feel the peace of God. I just feel like I'm in a happy place. I've got that over here, but I've got the will of God over there. And we just made the trade. We just said, okay, Lord, well, if I kept what I wanted over here, but I didn't have your will, that's not a good deal. And if I traded all the stuff that I really love and all good things and all the wonderful people that I've known and loved for all my life so I could have the will of God, I guess that's just the right trade.
Right.
You're going to have to forsake things so that you can take things. I can't have it all, and neither can you. No one gets it all. Only Jesus gets it all. It's either going to be the worldly friends or it's going to be the saved friends. It can't be both. It's either going to be mammon or God. It's either going to be righteousness or unrighteousness, heaven or hell. When you forsake one thing, it's so that you can take something else up and finish the job. You're going to have to forsake some things so that you can take some other things up. It's either going to be the Bible or video games. It's either going to be the Bible or your phone. It's either going to be the Bible or basketball. Amen. It can't be both. It can't be both. If you don't forsake all that you have, it doesn't mean you can't ever pick up, you know, it doesn't mean, you know, we're going to die in Sicily and we'll come back and visit. It doesn't mean that life is over. But forsake some things so you could have better things. That's all it is. If you don't forsake what you have, you won't be able to finish the job. Like Jesus did on the cross. John chapter 17. So he could finish the job. John chapter 17. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. He always finishes what he starts. Will you finish the job? John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And if you're not saved, listen up. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, and not about thee, and not around thee, but they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You might know about him, but if you don't know him, you don't know life. You don't have life. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus, before he even got to the cross, said, Father, job's done. I finished the job that you gave me to do. That's how set in stone, that's how that deal was done. It was over. It was in the bag. Jesus got it done already. And then he says, now, Father, now that the job is finished, can I go back to the glory that I had with you? Can I go back to the home that I had with you before the world was? Can I go back to the worship? Can I go back to the holy, holy, holies? Can I go back to the streets of gold that I had with you before the world was? How could I not go when Jesus came here for me?
Right.
That's not right. That's not fair. How could we not go when Jesus left home to come here and save us? He left the glory.
Amen.
He left heaven.
Amen.
He left the worship.
Amen.
He left a place more beautiful than any Christian camp you've ever been to.
Amen.
To come down and finish the job.
Right.
He forsook something.
What a Savior. Amen. Amen.
So he could accomplish something else. And he couldn't do both. He couldn't save your soul and keep heaven. He had to forsake some things to let other things be accomplished. Look to the cross. That's the power of the cross. Look at Jesus Christ dying on the cross and saying, Lord, if you forsook that to go to the cross, I'll put down the video games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put that down so that I could have this. I'll put down what I love over here so that I could have that. And look what you get out of the deal. Go back to where we started. Last passage, Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Thank you for your attention. We're going to finish up. Matthew 19. We have a good kid. We have good kids. We have a good kid who made a bad choice. He wouldn't forsake what he had so he could go walk with Jesus. What choice will you make tonight? Will you take up the power of the cross to be free from sin? Will you take up the power of the cross to have a new life? Will you take up the cross to defeat the devil? And will you take up the cross so you could finish the job? So Matthew chapter 19, look down where we were in verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, something that's perfect is something that's completed, something that's finished. Go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven.
Amen.
And come and follow me. And we know what he did. Now, Peter and the rest probably heard, wait, treasure? Wait a minute. I want to get down to the treasure. Well, what about us? Look down at verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all. And they did. And they did.
Amen.
They did.
Amen.
When you come and say, Lord, in your heart, and say, Lord, I want to do what's right. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love.
Amen.
God will not be in your debt. God will not say, that's all you have to give. Get that out of here. He'll say, no, I'll accept that. I'll take that. They forsook, and they were right. Maybe you will. They forsook. And verse 28, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now we know, first Bible, we're in the book of Matthew before the cross, and I'm not Peter, James, or John. So what about us? Verse 29, and everyone,
amen.
Everyone, in 2024, three or two, everyone. In First Bible Staten Island, Jersey, FBC Upstate, Downstate, everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father, mother, wife, children, lands for my name's sake to get the job done for the glory of God, for the name of Jesus Christ, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. I've got an inheritance up there. I'm a son of God, and so are you. If you're saved, I've got an inheritance up there. And I forsook a couple things down there. I'm going to enjoy the cannolis. I'm going to enjoy olive oil and pizza and gelato instead. Amen. I forsook some things down here by the grace of God, Lord willing. I hope that I finish the job and finish the ministry and finish the course so that I could be setting up something that Jesus set up for me up there. An inheritance. And you might lose a friend. You might lose a Christian friend. Oh, I could tell you. I've been in youth group. I've been around, like kind of what Chris was saying. I've had to turn a friend or two loose over the years. You might lose a friend. You might lose a habit. You might lose a sin that no one knew about, that it was okay, it's not that bad. You might lose just the weight, just the thing that it's not evil, it's not sinful, but you know what? So I could invest in that up there, I got to let go of something down here. So I could finish the job, I had to let go of that thing down there to put something up there. And Jesus says, no man, a cup of cold water given in his name, in no wise shall lose their reward.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Let's stand together.